The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now when John heard from prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to share with you this morning a question that has been asked of me many times since I've come to Reformation. And it is an honest, heartfelt question. Many times people have asked me, "Pastor, how are we going to get new members?" Now I get it. This question comes from a heart of concern and love for the church. But here's the thing that you need to hear this morning. Those words, "How are we going to get new members?" may actually be the deadliest and most dangerous question you can ever ask in a church. What do I mean? Well, see, hidden in there is this huge assumption and this way of looking at the church and the world, and it's this, that people out there are a potential resource that we in here in the church need. See, as good-hearted as that question is, there's usually a fear or at least an anxiety behind it. Somebody, and somebody usually means somebody else other than me, needs to do something. Instead of asking, how can we be a blessing to those around us? How can we serve our community and show the love of Jesus to all? Instead of that, it becomes, how are we going to survive? We're in trouble. Well, here's the Advent truth. We are in trouble. Not the church. Church is fine. The church is in God's hands. All of us, individually, are in trouble. But you see, this truth is also glorious good news, if you'll wait for it. See, the trouble that we're in is painted for us in vivid colors by Jesus in this report that he sends back to John the Baptist. John is sitting in prison wondering what's going on, and Jesus wants to assure him that, yes, I am the real deal. I am the long-awaited Savior. And so what he does is he strings together all these quotations from all sorts of different chapters of the prophet Isaiah. It's to say, you want to know if I'm for real, John? Well, here's what's happening. Exactly the prophetic hope that Isaiah foretold. The blind see. The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are hearing good news. See, all of those people would be considered traditionally outside of God's blessing. And they are the ones who are being given wholeness and hope and joy. And the reason why I say that we are in trouble is, you see, when you look at that list of the blind, the lame, lepers, the deaf, the dead, the poor, what you're looking at is us. Now, what do I mean by that? See, this catalog that Jesus gives is a list of the flawed, the broken, the wounded, and the hurting. It's not that we are literally blind or deaf or lame. It's that we are the imperfect. Our blindness? We don't always see things the right way. Our vision gets clouded by fear or greed or anger. Our lameness? Well, we don't always walk right, do we? We stumble. We fall. Sometimes we walk fine and fast, but we're going the wrong way. We fall flat on our faces. Now, look at us. We all look fine. I don't see any lepers here, but I'll tell you what, look beneath the surface, and every single one of us in this room has a messy story hidden in there. And your ears may work fine, they may not, but you may very well know the isolation and the disconnection that comes when communication breaks down. Now, what about the dead? Hey, we've all got pulses here, right? Right? Okay, all right, just checking, okay. But have you ever felt like you've got nowhere to go? No hope, no dreams? Well, then you know what it's like to need to have life restored to your soul. Not seeing things right. Stumbling. Being a mess. Knowing isolation. Loss of hope. Poverty. If you don't see yourself somewhere in that list, then right now your Advent work is to look more closely in the mirror. Because that catalog of flaws is a picture of humanity in need of a Savior. And that's us. Now, I know that in church we always tell each other that we're fine. We always put the best appearance on things. That's not how it's supposed to be, though. Church is where the Savior embraces not the fine, not the perfect, not the righteous, but the imperfect, the broken, the flawed. The Advent is not the time for wrapping our lives up in pretty paper and shiny bows to show off how wonderful everything is. Advent is when we need to hear that the whole reason that Jesus came is to heal the wounded, to bind up the broken, to redeem the lost. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what Jesus is all about. The love of God embracing the imperfect and bringing light and forgiveness and hope. We may be in trouble, but that's what Jesus brings to you. Dying on the cross, he fell completely into all the mess of our sin and pain and violence and pride. And he rose again in peaceful victory. See, that is God's promise for you. In Jesus, there is healing and life for you and for the world. So now I hope you might see how that question, how are we going to get new members, isn't the right one. Instead, if we care about the mission of Jesus, if we concern ourselves with the work that God's Holy Spirit wants to do in our community, then the question should be, how can we embody that healing love of Jesus and invite all the other imperfect people around us to share in it? See, that's not a question that's fearful about the fate of the church. Again, the church is in God's hands. Now, this is a perspective of faith in Jesus and love for our neighbors. Now, of course, there's also a deeper question behind it. And this is the question that really matters. Will we hold this Jesus at arm's length? Will we pretend that we're fine? Just paper over all the hurts? Or will we let Jesus come into all the broken places in our lives and embrace us in all of our messy imperfection? Because that's where the healing happens. That is where wholeness is found. That's where our eyes get opened and our ears start to hear. That's where we start to walk straight and strong. See, Jesus can clean up all the messes in our souls and give us hope when we think we've lost everything. And it's His love that can stir up provision and refuge, even for the poorest. Now, if that's true, and it is, don't you want more people to know that? To experience that love of Jesus? Well, the first step is simply let Jesus do His work in you. As you seek Him in prayer and in Bible study, as you are strengthened by worship and fellowship, Jesus will change you. And just by being shaped by Him, you will become a witness. Yes, you, as a Lutheran, a witness for Jesus. And He will set you free from worrying about what other people might think, or what questions they might ask, or how are we ever going to get new members into church. He'll replace all that with knowing that Jesus has lovingly redeemed all your faults and flaws. And as that happens to us, together we will become a community where, through our words and deeds, Jesus Himself will embrace the imperfect. All the imperfect. So that they may know welcome, forgiveness, healing, and joy. May that vision be our hope and our dream for these days of Advent. Amen.